Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and we're going to continue today. Well, we began yesterday the amazing readings we've been given in the Gospel, from the Gospel of John. I've talked about the subjects that we're engaging in this section of John's Gospel, which is the Last Supper Discourse, and it appears the church presents it to us periodically during the liturgical year. And in many ways, I'm grateful that the church does it, because it is the, as a friend of mine once put it to me, this is the greatest teaching of the greatest teacher that ever walked the face of the earth. This is the absolute apex in my mind of the teaching of Jesus, what's culminated here and what Jesus is revealing about his relationship with the Father, the Father's relationship with the Son, their relationship with the Holy Spirit, and how we, each and every one of us who are baptized into Christ, and maybe if there's some of you who are listening, stumbled onto the program today and you've never been baptized or you're not a believer, hang on, listen to it, because what I'm going to be talking about today, continuing, is just the beautiful vision of what is at the heart of Christianity. What does it mean to be a Christian, which is really a new life in the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit given to us. We are brought into a new life and relationship with God, and it's beautifully articulated by Jesus. But before I do that, we're going to get into that gospel. But also, the first reading this week is from the Acts of the Apostles. We've been going through it ever since the celebration of the resurrection of our Lord in this season leading up to Pentecost, how the gospel made its way. The Holy Spirit was leading the apostles, just as Jesus said. The power of God was going forth from them, and the church was born. The church was growing, and we have more of it here. But one of the things we see this week is a really important time, a period of conflict and difficulty in the early church. It leads to what's called the Jerusalem Council, because as Paul is preaching the gospel to the Gentiles, he also preached to Jewish people in synagogues, but he really was the primary preacher. It began with Peter, but Paul extended it in his amazing missions that he undertook and the anointing that he received. And really the church was, to the Gentile world, was the foundations were laid across Europe through the leadership of St. Paul. And he's rejoicing in seeing how Gentiles are coming to the faith. But word came from Judea, that is from Jerusalem, from the community in Jerusalem, that, I'll read it to you, unless you are circumcised according to the Mosaic practice, you cannot be saved. So from the home of Christianity, from the voices of authority in the church, what comes to Paul, who's out on the mission field, and he's celebrating the conversion of the Gentiles, voices from Jerusalem came and said, well, that's the right direction, but you're not going to be saved until you're circumcised and you fulfill other dimensions of the law. And so Paul, what we're going to see this week as it goes on, I'll touch on it really Thursday, and I just wanted to give you a heads up, because you might say, how come he's not talking about some of the readings in Acts, because it's so exciting. I think on Thursday, Friday, we'll take a deeper dive into the Jerusalem Council and what's all revealed there. But right now, today, I'd like to continue on with the Gospel of John. We're in 15 now, that beautiful, I'm the vine, you're the branches. But the one line that is, I think, related from Paul's Acts of the Apostles encounter, because he's preaching the gospel, and one of the things they're experiencing is persecution and trial. And one of the themes that came from the readings in Acts that Paul will describe, he said, it's necessary for us to undergo many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. It's a motif also that runs through, because even in all the Acts of the Apostles, the apostles are experiencing trial and persecution as they're proclaiming the gospel with such boldness. We'll hear more about that from Paul as well. But essentially what they all understood and they all embraced and didn't think something was going wrong or that God was somehow being unfaithful, because they were experiencing lots of hardship in the context of the victory of the preaching of the gospel that they were seeing. I think there's such an important lesson for us in all of this, to be able to understand that this is the pathway for the spread of the gospel around the world until the world comes again. That I think one of the reasons we hesitate to preach the gospel is we don't want pushback. There's other reasons why, too, why people hold back, but we don't want conflict. We're conflict avoiders, or we don't want to suffer, and we don't want difficulty. But through all of this, here we are listening to Jesus in the Last Supper discourse when he's about to suffer all that he suffered on Good Friday and everything that led up to it. He didn't think something was going wrong in the Father's plan. He understood. He understood what it means to bring the light of the gospel, to bring the kingdom into this fallen world, this false kingdom. It is real spiritual battle and real spiritual combat. And part of the reason the apostles made so much progress, they were under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, for sure, that's at the heart of it. But they also were willing to pay a high price. They weren't afraid of it. They were willing to suffer for what they believed. That's a theme that we should make sure we take in as we work our way toward Pentecost each day and we pick up these readings and understand it, because the Lord expects that of us too, and to not be afraid. So John 15, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He takes away every branch in me that does not bear fruit, and everyone that does, he prunes so that it bears more fruit. A branch that's not bearing fruit, the Father takes away, cuts it off. And those that are bearing fruit, just like we have in our own plants in our own backyard, if we prune it correctly, it produces more growth. So Jesus is using this image for us to understand, it's an analogy, the nature of what's happening in us in baptism and living in the church as a people of God, receiving the life of the sacraments, the flow, really the central place being the Eucharist, which is the living water that keeps flowing to us from the heavens, from the altar in heaven, the body of our Lord, the blood of our Lord that feeds us, that strengthens us, that animates evermore the work of the Spirit. The Spirit reveals more of what's happening. We're transformed. And for us to be united to the Lord, he'll talk about what that means for us now as we embrace what the Lord gives us, being on the branches. We receive the sap that's flowing from the heart of the Father, from the presence of Christ in his kingdom in heaven, which is really the gift of the Holy Spirit that is moving in us. It will produce fruit. It'll produce the fruit of the kingdom. But if we're not living from it, we're not going to produce fruit. And eventually we, the branch, if we're not producing fruit, will get cut off. And some of the words Jesus uses here are pretty challenging, and they have tremendous practical meaning to our lives right now today, living out our life on a day-to-day basis. He said, you are already pruned because of the word that I spoke to you. So remember the word of God we talked about, it's living and active. It's a sharp two-edged sword. It's a surgical knife. And the pruning of the apostles was already happening through the teaching of Jesus. What he was teaching him, the way of life they were being brought into his disciples, the correction he was giving to them, and all that he wanted them to know. So the word of God was purifying them, and then they were in the pruning, and they just kept saying yes to the more he gave them and followed his teaching. That allowed more fruit bearing to take place. And then he goes on to say, remain in me as I remain in you. What's he referring to? How is Jesus in you? If you're baptized into Christ, Jesus said, we've come to make our home in you so that you're a temple of the living God. And so you have a relationship and with the living God, and it's deeply personal and profound and shared with the whole body of Christ. You're now in Christ, in the Holy Spirit. And if you remain, that is, pay attention to the presence of the Holy Spirit, talk to the Holy Spirit, follow the promptings of the Holy Spirit, receive the sacraments that are the primary way that the life of the Spirit continues to flow into us, reading the Word of God, engaging the mission of Jesus, and extending the gospel across the world, or your neighborhood, in your family, in your home. These are the ways to remain: daily prayer, walking with Jesus, living in community and fellowship. These are the ways in which we remain in Jesus. And Jesus said, as long as you're doing that, you're hungering, you're thirsting, you're seeking me, and you're putting me in the first place, I will remain in you. I will remain in you. Saying no to mortal sin, right? which is what cuts us off from the life of God. We got to be very careful. Thanks be to God for the priesthood and the sacraments and the Lord's constant desire to purify us and make it possible for us to come home if we fall at that level. Just as a branch cannot bear fruit on its own unless it remains on the vine, so neither can you unless you remain in me. So we're called to bear fruit. It's a critical, critical piece of knowing whether we're actually growing, and that growing means we're responding in obedience to the Lord. If we love the Lord, that is willing what he desires for us, we're saying yes to him and we're obeying him and receiving all that he gives us, fruit will grow. The life of the kingdom will grow in us. The fruits of the Spirit will grow in us. And if we're not obeying him, if we're not walking and listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit's promptings and leading, we're not going to bear fruit, which is going to be the test of, do you love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, or don't you? Jesus goes on. Just as a branch cannot bear fruit on its own unless it remains on the vine, so neither can you unless you remain in me. So it's an exhortation again. It's his exhortation to us. This is what it means now to be a disciple, to live in me, to live with me. I'm the vine and you're the branches. Whoever remains in me and I in him will bear much fruit, because without me, you can do nothing. This is such an important line for us to remember. Without me, you can do nothing. Because what does he mean? There's certainly a lot of things we do and can do, right? Well, first of all, God gives us the grace to do everything that we're doing fundamentally. But what Jesus is really talking about here is the fullness of the life of the kingdom that he has for us. Real transformation as children of God, getting free from habit patterns of sin, healing our heart, healing our spirit, transforming our mind, giving us a renewed mind, and leading us into the footsteps and following Jesus. And as Paul said, you know, the Christian life is a new life in the Spirit. And it's not just an experience of the Holy Spirit, it's a whole way of life that the Holy Spirit leads us into. That is the life that Jesus lived and the life that we're repeating as his disciples, as we're learning the way of life of Jesus. Anyone who does not remain in me will be thrown out like a branch and wither. People will gather them and throw them into a fire, and they will be burned. Now, this is some of the commentary, and the fathers of the church refer to this as a last judgment kind of, this is first just an exhortation and warning about what comes to those who don't take seriously the sacrifice of Jesus and the new life and the saving life that's being offered to us. People who are indifferent, people who are lukewarm. Remember, Jesus doesn't like lukewarm Christianity. He spits it out of his mouth. He can't stand it. He went all in, and for us to come just in a qualified way or half in, half out, that just doesn't hold in the kingdom of God. You can't throw the Lord a bone. What it means is to be a disciple is to go all in, whatever you got every day in your heart, a big yes to the Lord and giving him permission and responding to him. And he's saying, well, if you don't do that, what's going to happen is you're withering on the vine, it'll be cut off. And what happens with those branches? It's thrown into the fire. And it's also a way of describing the final judgment that's coming. And the Father is the one who does it. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you want and it will be done to you. That is in the will of God. By this, my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. How was the Father glorified in Jesus' life? He obeyed the Father. To do the will of the Father was his very food. It was his delight. All the way to the cross and everything that happened from the beginning until that point, the Father was glorified because the Lord was giving him glory through total obedience and surrender. That's the pathway for each and every one of us. Hope you can join me tomorrow.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Does God Judge? Wow, what a question, but it's a relevant question. Scripture says we were all appointed to die once, and then the judgment. We know for sure each one of us has an appointment in our future. And it takes scripture, catechism, and the saints to help us understand the beauty of God's plan and how we can look forward to the judgment as followers of Christ. If you'd like to get a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/FOE.